It's all good. Hey, we're entering a new theme this month, and it's on stewardship, as Joel was sharing before. And this is your key scripture for the month, okay? It's 1 Peter 4:10. And this is it. It says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to do what?
To serve others.
To serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace and its various form. And I love this. It's whatever gift you have received. Who's had a gift? Anyone get anything for Christmas? Hopefully you've got a gift. What's your resource? What's your resource? You know, your ability to sing, which I do not possess at all. Hopefully you've got something else. You know, your house, your spiritual gifts. You know, people with a gift of encouragement, the gift of hospitality, the gift of whatever. Your finances, your ability, the gift of communication, the gift of healing. Love those stories. The gift of time. 2024, we've got 1 year, 40 hours working, whatever, I don't know, 40 hours, whatever. The gift of prayer, the ability. And we're going to look at spiritual gifts later on in the month, but for this whole thing, serve others. It's not for yourself. The gifts of God are to be given away, and to be shared freely, that it you'd be an absolute blessing. And as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Yeah. I love the various forms, because we're all different, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We all make up the body. Some of us are good at stuff. Some of us are useless at certain things and better at things. But find that place where you can operate. And I love this Māori word, kiaki tanga. Kiaki ki tanga. See, I'm useless at this, isn't it? I'm trying. You know,
Kaiki Akitanga.
Yeah. Is that right? No, it's not, is it? I'm failing badly, failing miserably.
Kaiti Akitanga.
You need that ball.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to redeem myself right here and say I got an A+ in my treaty paper this year. My Māori pronunciation, useless. someone's is good. My tangi day, we need to be multicultural. But I love this idea of stewardship, of guardianship, that to nurture, to grow, to look after, to take care of, and to protect.
Yeah.
And that's this whole idea of stewardship. And so we're going to be talking about that over this month. And at the end of the month, last Sunday of the month, we're going to do Count Me In Sunday, Sign Up Sunday. So I know that most people in the church are already signed up for a bunch of things. You don't get away with anything in this church because at our size, but come and be a part of it. Use your gift. That's the encouragement over this month. What's your gift and how can you use it? And so we'll unashamedly invite you to serve at the end of the month. But gifts are there to be used. Don't bury your gift in the ground. And we'll present some different opportunities around that. And today I want to just talk about just the biblical understanding and the biblical truth of stewardship. To be a good steward, what does that actually mean? I love your steward ownership. that's clever, I like that. But the understanding, the biblical truth and the biblical understanding is not ownership. God owns the stuff, but we get to use it, right? In Psalm 24, verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. And the realization that everything we have is loaned to us, we're just passing through, but in the end it all belongs to God, right?
Yeah.
We get to look after it. We get to nurture, we get to care for stuff, but we don't own it. It's a landlord-tenant relationship. And God holds us accountable for how we treat his property, okay? It's like my daughter Harper, who's 17, and so we have brought a car, kind of for her, but we own it, because we can pay all the bills. But she gets to use it, right? And the nature of the relationship is this is our car, you get to use it, but look after it. Don't leave McDonald's wrappers through it. Put petrol in it. Buff out the little marks on the bumper when they occasionally appear miraculously. Do look after it. But we own the car. And when we need it back, or when Finn learns to drive, then it'll be like, buddy, here's this car. And that's the nature of how we operate with it. See, biblical stewardship carries this idea that our full inheritance is in heaven. So here on earth, we get to look after stuff, but full ownership is when we get to heaven. See, we are adopted into the family of God, and in Romans 8, 14 and 17, it talks about how we are children, that we're not slaves, but we've received the spirit of adoption. So we are, and then it goes on that, now if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Well, for my good King James friends, you know, joint heirs with Christ. So when we get to heaven, the fullness of ownership is what we got. So who's looking forward to heaven? We get the stuff. And so we've got to have an eternity mindset around what we have. That the fullness is here. We don't get everything down here. And there's this difference between sons and servants. We get an inheritance. Ownership comes, but later on. And throughout the Bible, there's a whole bunch of different parables which help us understand the kingdom of God, how it operates. And Jesus always, he begins with, the kingdom of heaven is like this. And there's agricultural stories around vineyards, the parable of the vineyard, seeds and sowers. And this morning I just want to track through probably one of the most well-known parables, the parable of the talents, and then we're going to look at stewardship around that. So, it's going to come up, but if you've got your Bibles, we're in Matthew 25, verse 14 to 29. And Jesus telling the story, the parable of the talents. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another one bag, each according to his ability. Okay? And a talent, translation is translated as a bag of gold there. It's actually a talent, which is equal to 20 years of wages for a laborer. Okay? So I calculate that on the New Zealand minimum wage, just going up to $23.15 on a 40-hour working week over 20 years. That equals $963,040.
Wow.
So just bordering on $1 million on each talent. So one's got 5 million, one's got 2 million, and one's got 1 million. Wow. That's fairly generous, right?
Yeah.
You're going, who would like that? It's like, so everybody receives something, and everybody received a large amount, okay? Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work, gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more, but the man who had received 1 bag went out off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. 2 took action, 1 didn't. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. So the man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, went out, hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Making excuses. Master replied, you wicked and lazy servant, so you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one with 10 bags, and whoever has more will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside in the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Who wants a well done, good and faithful servant?
Yeah.
The thumbs up, the enter into your rest, and there's the sense of heavenly reward. See? There is an expectation of a return from God, right? On what he gives you. And the guy with the talent buried in the ground, he gets, let's be honest, it's a pretty stern rebuke, right?
Yeah.
You wicked and lazy servant. And just as there's a sense of heaven in the destiny of the two faithful servants, there is a strong sense of hell in the destiny of the wicked and lazy servant, right? I mean, that's strong in there, confronting words from the master. So the obvious question from this is, what has God given you? Okay? If you were to ask yourself just for a minute, what has God given you? Resources, talent, opportunities, time, relationships, spiritual gifts. What's in your hand? What has God given you? What's he placed within your hand? I always love the story of Moses. I've just been reading through that. And he's got this staff. It's a stick. He's a shepherd. He's been wandering the desert for a bunch of years, looking after the father-in-law's sheep. And God asks him, what's in your hand? And he says, it's got this staff. And often the gifts and things is often really close to us and familiar to us, right? It's you know, we're sometimes looking for what other people have got, or they've got a really cool gift, or they've got that. But often the thing which God gives us is really close to hand. But it's the staff which usually throws it down, performs miracles, it turns into a snake, picks it up again, uses it to part the Red Sea. Same with, you know, when you look at David and Goliath, you know, he says this little sling. It's just what he used to, you know, scare the lions and stuff off. He has the sling, 5 stones. God uses what is close in your hand. What is in your hand? What has God given you? Which is there? And the question is, what are you doing with it? You know, the expectation is to live fruitful, abundant, generous lives. You know, that life is in the giving away, sharing with others, and living for something bigger than ourselves. Can I encourage you, the ability to live open-handedly is an incredible ability to hold loosely. Martin Luther, great man of God who started the Reformation, he says this, I have held many things in my hands, and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hand, that I still possess. And it's just this ability to live open-handedly. You know, when we try and hold tight to things, if you, you know, and you're trying to grab things, you know, you see Gollum on the Lord of the Rings? You know, mine! Precious! and you're trying to grasp it, and you're trying to hold on to it. And that's when it gets weird, right?
Yeah.
But if we have the ability to let go and hold loosely, hold lightly, we say, God, it's yours anyway.
Yeah.
I don't own this. I'll look after it. I'll do everything. I'll care for it. But God, in the end of the day, it's yours. There's incredible release in that. Absolute release in that. You know, and Job, you know, I find actually the story of Job in the Bible, in some ways it's a horrendous story, if we're to be honest about it. But he comes up at the end of it, he just says this little statement. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And sometimes, you know, God, what? You've given me this, and then it's gone, and how am I doing? But the ability to hold loosely and just say, God, you give, take away, but I'm going to honor your name. I'm going to bless you. That is an incredible spirit to actually be able to carry.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's be honest about it, that's not easy sometimes, right?
Yeah.
You know, when you lose stuff, we go, God, what happened? What went wrong? But to be able to honor God in those moments is pretty special. So, so we're talking about good and faithful servants, good and faithful stewards. If you want to hear that, good and faithful stewards at the end of your life, and this idea of to nurture, to grow, to look after, to take care of, to be a shepherd. I'm going to just give you quickly 4 areas of how to be a good shepherd, okay? So the first one I want to talk about is be a good shepherd, or be a good steward of your relationships. Number one, okay? People matter.
Come on.
People matter. Who has God given you in your hands around you? Family, kids, friends, church connections, they're a gift, right? I know sometimes you look at your kids and go, I don't know, I'm sure if they're a gift, but they are a gift, right, from God. They are a gift. They're an absolute gift from God. And if we were to apply some kaiachi ka takanga,
yeah.
I'm not going to say that word ever again. I put it up as my theme, and I'm going to fail badly on it. So anyway,
we're going to practice
at home, yeah. Priscilla says. But let's be honest. People are messy, right?
Yeah.
Who's worked that out? It's hard work.
Yeah.
Family, people, you know, over Christmas, it's like we're connecting with a few people. And three or four times we're talking with people, and there will be a family member or someone, they're not talking, right?
Yeah.
Christmas is awkward. They're not coming. And all these situations. I actually sat down with my family, my kids, and says, okay, in this family, there is never a good enough reason for you not to be talking to us.
Yeah.
Okay? We'll sort it out. We'll work it through. Because I see these families, and it becomes almost a thing which goes through the generations.
Yeah, yeah.
That they didn't talk to their people, and then they had a falling out with these people, and then further on, these people aren't talking to them, and so the kids aren't. And it's just, I'm going, my goodness, come on, people. What's God given you? Look after it. You know, long term, your family matters. And can I encourage you, do everything that you can just to look after those relationships. Nurture. You don't have to agree with everything which somebody else does. But love them. Look after them. Now Romans 12, verse 17 and 18, it says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. It is be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And I know that sometimes it's not possible, and I know that sometimes it doesn't depend on you, but as much as you can, and as far as, and that would be your intention in your heart, we're going to live at peace with people. We're going to get on well. We're going to do this. You know, and as a pastor of a church, what I've realized over time is that you don't own people either. And you've got to hold people really open-handedly, you know, because occasionally people leave your church. You go, but I've nurtured, I've prayed for, I've looked after, I've cared for, and they go, I'm going to another church. And that's okay, because when other people turn up to our church, what do? We welcome them. It's great to have you here. And so you go, one pastor's going, grab the ass, and the other pastor's going, hallelujah, God is moving, you know. So I've learned to hold people lightly, right? When people are with us, we care for them, right?
Yeah.
And I do it as a pastor, it is. But I'm going, no, guard your heart.
Yeah.
Love people, look after people. We don't own them, because otherwise it becomes really weird.
Yeah.
It becomes, you know, even the loyalty culture where, you know, you have to stay loyal, you have to, whatever. No. We've got to live open-handedly.
Yeah.
God gives us people to look after. Gives us kids. Gives
yep.
people. Look after them, care for them, love them, absolutely. And when it's time for them to move on, you bless them.
Yeah.
You speak life.
Amen.
Care for them in the name of Jesus. But don't leave.
<You can't. laughs>
Freedom. Come on, people. Live free. Live free. Mine, precious. Mine. Don't be like that. Live free in the name of Jesus. Okay? And people are important. Church people are important. Can I honor and encourage, you know, those of you who are connect group leaders, who are kids workers, youth leaders? The greatest thing that you can do is look after people.
Yeah.
Just care for a few people. Just, you know, look after you and pray for you. I'll be there for you. That is the greatest thing
yeah.
you can do. That people are eternal.
Yeah.
So can I encourage you around that? Just do that. And I know sometimes it's messy and people are people, but it's okay. It's okay. Okay, so number one, be a good steward of your relationships. Number two, be a good steward of your resources. Okay, so your finances, your time, your energy, your assets. Again, that we would care for, we would nurture, we would grow, we invest. Okay? Don't forget about your heavenly superannuation plan. Okay? This is better than KiwiSaver. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures where?
In heaven.
In heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Also, I love this verse in 1 Timothy. It says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. I like that.
Yeah.
God's not a killjoy. He says, come on, you're providing you for your enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous, willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life.
Yeah.
Who wants life that's truly life?
Yeah.
Lay up treasures. Treasures mean treasures in heaven. So can I encourage you, 2024, be a good steward. Be a good steward of your time. You've got a year, okay?
Yeah.
Another year. You've got one life. Live it well. Don't just let it waste away.
Yeah.
Invest. Be intentional. You know, if you need to save for a house, say, come on, this year, we're going to put everything into that. You know, I love in that little parable of the talents we talked about, it says, he put his money to work. He put his money to work. In 2024, if you were to put your money to work, and we can talk about heavenly riches, but we can talk about investment. You know, I want you to do well on this planet, right? God wants you to do well. So if you do well around investment and your finances, and God was to bless that, and you were to put your money to work, what would that look like in 2024?
Yeah.
Be a good steward. Number three, be a good steward of your gifts and talents, your spiritual gifts. Use them. 2 Timothy 4 verse 14 says this, do not neglect your gift. Don't hide it under the ground, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. And we're gonna do a Sunday on spiritual gifts coming up, but so I'm not going to dwell much on this. But can I encourage you, if you've got a spiritual gift or any sort of gift, be diligent around it.
Yeah.
Be diligent in the... Give yourself wholly to it, okay? You know, if you're a musician, okay, I'm going to be good at this. I'm not just going to turn up and just, you know, rip off some chords or whatever. I don't know, because I'm not a musician. I'm useless. But if you're communication, if that's your thing, go do a course. Say, okay, I'm going to be good at this. If healing's your thing, say, all right, you know, I love Claudia. Like, you know, look out for anybody who's sick, you know. Anyway, so we're going to pray for them. And say, I'm going to learn about healing. I'm going to upskill. Don't neglect it. And we always say, oh, but, you know, someone else is better than me, or, oh, I don't know, the past hasn't asked me, or, you know, there's not the opportunity, or, we come up with all excuses, don't we?
Yeah.
Bury it in the ground. Say, come on, no, don't neglect your gift. 2024,
yep. Come on.
What's your spiritual gift? Don't neglect it.
Amen.
Don't neglect it. Train, upskill, practice. I've got to hear your complaint is your cause. You know, people come and talk to me. Oh, Glenn and I don't know. The words on the screen, they never come up on time. What's going on with that, Glenn? It's like, well, maybe you're supposed to be on your AV team. Well, maybe you complain, all right, church, that's not very friendly. Nobody ever talks to me. Maybe because you're wired hospitality and you love people. And you say, come on.
Yeah.
We need people just to, you know. Or, I don't know, all the other things which people complain about. Church. You complain, often the complaint, you complain about things because you see it, right?
Because
you're wired that way and you go, oh, why don't they just do that better? And I'm going, why don't you just do that better? You know, it's kind of, come on, people. Step into what you've got.
Yeah.
Don't bury it in the ground. See, someone is waiting on the other side of your obedience.
Mm.
Last one. You all right? Doing all right?
Yeah.
Come on, last one. Be a good steward of the planet. Okay? And I was just thinking about this, and we need to be good stewards of our planet. Good planets are hard to find, right? And I think, I don't know, probably growing up, old school Christianity was, it's all going to burn anyway. was kind of, who was brought up in that era? It's all, you know, it's all going to burn anyway. But what if we had a different perspective than that? Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase it in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and cover and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Yeah. And there's probably read that, let them have dominion, rule over or subdue. And we've somehow, I don't know, we've read that as plunder, pillage and destroy. Well, it should be, if we take the sense of stewardship, to be look after,
yeah,
care for, nurture. This idea of guardianship, that we'd care for our planet, that we'd take responsibility for, not exploitation, I think is probably way better biblical interpretation of that. Who'd be up for that?
Yeah, come on.
Who would look after our planet? Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Let me finish. Alexander Chalmers, doctor, Scottish writer, he said this. He says, the three grand essentials of happiness are something to do, someone to love, and something to hope for.
Amen.
And I think Christianity is that. Come on, you've got something to do on this planet. There's purpose attached. You're not just flying through and created out of nothing and just appeared. No, no, no. You're chosen, you're ordained, you're destined. You've got something to do on this planet. You've got gifts, callings, purpose attached to you. Someone to love. The people around you. We would nurture, we'd care for those relationships, the people around us. Something to hope for, to believe for. And the fullness of our hope is in heaven. But also, well, I'm hoping for some good stuff down here as well. Who's hoping for some good stuff down here?
Yeah.
Yeah. I am. All right, Stan, let's finish this. We're here. Well done, good and faithful servant. If God was to say to you, well done, good and faithful. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We get to do this. Now what I'm going to just spend is just this last minute, just have a wee chat to God. What's in your hand? What's in your hand?